But I want you to ask yourself this question. Have you ever just had one of those I can't believe this is happening moments? I'm not talking about like one of those bad moments that you're just like, I can't believe this is really happening to me and just why does things keep happening to me? I'm talking about like I can't believe my eyes type moments. Just one of those crazy things that if you're by yourself, that maybe you're even afraid that nobody else is going to believe you when you tell them, or you're with somebody and you just turn, and I'm sure you've done this, you just turn real slow and you look at the other person and you think, did I just see what I think I saw? And I couldn't help but to think of just a couple different moments just as I thought about that question. There was one time several years ago that we were in San Antonio and we were traveling back. And we stopped it to eat, and it was a very rainy day, similar to today, and it had just rained and rained and rained, and we were watching the news, and on the news it was showing that Schlitterbahn was flooded, and all the tubes were just floating down the river, and then the most amazing thing I think I'd ever seen on TV was, and it wouldn't have been amazing if it had been my house, but it had knocked a house off its foundation, and the house was floating down the river. And I thought, that has got to be crazy. I just couldn't even begin to imagine it. Little did I realize where we stopped to eat was about a fourth of a mile or so away from that. We get back in our vehicle, and it's not very long. We go over that big bridge, and we look down there, and we can see the things that we just saw on the news. And I'm like, I can't believe this is really happening. Can't believe it. Another one happened a few weeks ago. My kids, they were on vacation with my in-laws. And I get this phone call. And just simply says, Dad, it's flooding here. And I was like, okay, it's good. And a minute later, I start getting these videos. And I'm like, it's really flooding. And what they had done is they checked in these cabins. And it had just come this downpour there in Colorado where they're on vacation. And the water just rushed right through there. And it was... water was coming in some of the cabins, and it was just doing this different things. And so we talked to them, and honestly, I was like, this will be fine. It'll stop in a minute, thinking the rain stops. And we hung up with them, and me and Amy kind of went on our normal, just talking about it. And a few minutes later, my other son calls, and he says, Dad, a boulder from the flood hit one of the gas mains, and now the gas is leaking, and they're trying to tell us to get out of here. And as a parent, I was, at that point, I'm like, okay. But I also was like, it's fine. Just do what they say. Get out of there. Walk out. The things that it really wasn't going through my mind, he said, they told us to walk out this way, but I don't really know where the road is. And honestly, for me, I'm thinking it's a kid. They don't know really where the road really was, how they really drove in. I was kind of thinking of some things, not realizing with the flood was a mudslide, and so that there was no road, visible road. And so... what we didn't know was going on at that point. They're wading through this mud knee-deep to get out. And so at this point, we're like, okay, trying to check on them and make sure everything's okay. And then we get another phone call. Dad, you will not believe this. One of those SWAT tanks are here to pick us up. Just wait to the pictures that I get to see. And so honestly, at that point in time, it was just seemed like one phone call after another that Amy and I really just stopped and were laughing because we're like, what else can go wrong next? You just can't. We even made the comment to each other, they couldn't even make this stuff up if they were trying to make this stuff up. And so, I don't know about you, but sometimes you just have those particular moments in your life where you're like, I couldn't make this up, and this just seems to just never stop and just continues to happen, and you're like, I can't believe my eyes. And so, last week we kicked off this idea of just good company, and we looked at Jonah, and this week I want us to look at Noah. And I just can't believe that Noah didn't have some of these thoughts running through his mind as the things continue to unfold for him. Was, am I really believing my eyes? Am I hearing this? Are you sure, God? And so I really actually want to pick up in Hebrews in chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, I just really has a lot of different ones and talks a lot about faith. But in verse 7, it says this. It was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God and warned him about the things. He obeyed God who warned him about the things that had never happened before. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received a righteousness that comes by faith. And I read this scripture, and there's just so much just packed in this little bitty scripture, because first of all, it says by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. You know, there's a lot of things I think we would do to save our family, and I think if it took building us a boat, we would do whatever that we possibly could. And I have preached before about Noah, and you've probably heard about Noah, and you think about how big the ark really is, and it says that he built a large boat that we call an ark. I had an opportunity on vacation to go see the ark, a replica of the ark. And I'm just telling you, a large boat in that scripture just doesn't really do it justice. As I stood there just in awe of how huge and big this thing really is, it just made me realize that large boat, it was definitely larger than what we would think large. It was really, really huge. And then I'll read as it goes on there in verse 7, and it says, he warned him about things he had never, that had never happened before. And just how much faith that really took. Rain. We saw a lot of rain today, but we've seen it before. Maybe it really wasn't, you know, that big of a deal. Most of us were thankful to get some rain, but Noah had never seen the rain. So I want us to think this morning, as we look through this, why did God choose Noah? Why did God choose Noah to do these just incredible things through his life? And I just want you to imagine if you were God just for a moment and you were just thinking about some people that you would use, would you choose you? Would you choose you? And I couldn't help but to think about that. If God was asking that question today, would he choose me? Would I have the faith that Noah had to be able to do this thing, building this large, huge boat that we call an ark? And I just think about all the different things about Noah, and I really want us to focus in today on Genesis chapter 6. I believe that there's some characteristics that we can find of just why God chose and used Noah. In Genesis chapter 6, I just want to read just a couple of verses, starting in verse 5. It says, the Lord observed the extent of the human wickedness on the earth, and he saw that everything they thought or imagined was consistently and totally evil. So the Lord was sorry he had ever made them, and he put them and had put them on the earth. It broke his heart. And the Lord said, I will wipe this human race I have created from the face of the earth. Yes, I will flood and destroy every living thing, all the people, the large animals, the small animals that scurry along the ground, even the birds of the sky. I'm sorry I ever made them, but Noah found favor with the Lord. And I can't help when I read that scripture, there was just one part that really stuck out to me, and it just says something to the effect right there that it broke God's heart. And I just wonder sometimes if our behavior and our actions and the things that we do sometimes just really break God's heart. And the thing that I love here is Noah was just totally available. And it says that he found favor in the Lord. But when the Lord began to speak to Noah, Noah made himself totally just available for God to use. And I wonder sometimes if we miss out on the things that God wants us to do, or we miss out on the blessings and the way that God wants us to use us, just because we don't fully make ourselves available to him. We don't say, I'll do it. We don't raise our hand, yeah, I'll take that step of faith. Yeah, I will do this. Because when I look at Noah, and just there's no way that he fully understood what God was saying. There's just not. Even when God began to tell him the size of the ark, at that point in time, there's just no way he understood the magnitude of what he was about to do. But I just kind of picture Noah saying, yeah, I'll do it. I'm available. And as Noah maybe went behind his house and he began to step out, one, two, three, and he kept stepping out all the different steps until he got to the end of what God had said. And he gets over here and he looks back at the marker he made and he thought, that thing's huge. He didn't change his mind. He still made himself available to what God had in store for him. And I think, I'm afraid sometimes that we miss out on a lot of things and the way God could use us just because we don't make ourselves available. And we don't believe that God can do just some crazy things through our own life. Maybe we doubt our own abilities. Maybe we make excuses and say, oh, I can't do that. And I look at Noah, and I look at him and I think he had every possible excuse that he could have possibly made. That, I can't do that. There's no way. That's too big. If you want me to build a boat, it's probably going to sink. They're probably not going to make it. If you want to save my family, then you better hire somebody else. You better get something else to going on. I'm going to need some more expertise. I'm going to need this. I'm going to need that. But he just made himself available. And I think so many different times is just how we miss out on different things. And I was reading this story about Anthony Karpola, and he was a professor, and he was invited to speak at this particular college. And as he showed up there to speak, they brought him in the back room first, and they just began to pray over him. And they were praying that he would be, as he spoke, and all these different things. And then this one guy, as he took time for his prayer, right in the middle of this prayer, praying for Anthony, he broke into this. He said, Lord, if you could just get through to Ben Harris, that would be great. He needs you really badly. He lives down the street in this trailer, and he's considering all these different things, and I'm just afraid he's going to leave his family. God, if you just please just help Ben Harris. And as he said that, everybody was kind of thinking, what in the world is going on? And kind of thought it was strange. And then he went right back to praying for Anthony. And Anthony, as he tells the story, he says he went on and he spoke and everything was good. And he got his car to leave and drive home that day. And he's driving home. And then he runs across this hitchhiker. And for some reason, he said he stopped and pitched to pick up this hitchhiker. And he gets in the car and he's driving and he's talking. And he finally asks the guy's name. He says, my name is Ben Harris. And says that Anthony just kind of slammed on his brakes and turned around, and it kind of scared the hitchhiker because he didn't know what was happening at that particular point. And he said, he began to talk to him, and he said, why are you about to leave your family? Why are you walking away from everything? He said the guy's face just went white and didn't really have much to say. And then the guy went back to the trailer because the way that the guy described it in his prayer and pulled up in his yard and had to drop him back off at home. And the guy's like, how did you know where I lived? And the guy said, Anthony just said, you know, in a roundabout way, God just told me. And it's funny how God can use some things if we just make ourselves available and listen to God. And how many times in our life that we just pass things by because we just don't make ourselves available and we just don't have those different things that are going on. So the first thing that I see here is why God chose Noah and why he was able to use him to do some incredible things is because he just said, why not? I can do this. Just whatever it is, God, I'll do it. And the second thing that we find here, we look in verse 9, as in Genesis it says, this is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless person living on earth at the time. And he walked in close fellowship with God. Now think about this. Noah chose to be different. It says that, first of all, that he was the only blameless one. He was definitely different than everybody else. He was living a different life, and that he walked in close fellowship with God. He did his best to stay close to God, to get to know God, to live the life that God wanted him to live. And out of all of that, Noah definitely was dared to be different than everyone else on earth. And God uses people who just dare to be different, who dare to step out in faith and who dare to do just some different things. And I think about Noah, you know, he dared to be different. He wasn't afraid to stand out. He wasn't afraid what people thought. He wasn't afraid what people might say. Noah just wasn't this easily influenced person at all. And we think of all those different things that could take place. And Noah was like, you know what? I choose to be different. And I think a lot of times, at least in America, we have this tendency to think that the majority is always right. And here that Noah proved the fact that it was all actually the opposite, that the one person was actually the one living the right and doing the right thing and saying the right thing. And I just can't help but to think of all the criticism Noah had to face. It took him a long time to build the ark. And I can't help but to think, as Noah stepped that off and he began to bring the trees in and he began to build this ark, that people just seem to notice a little bit. And I can't help but to think about what they might be saying. And for some of you, if you live in an HOA, I just can't even imagine the letters that Noah started getting. Did you get your building permit for this? You can't have anything showing. It's got to be behind your house. It can't be sticking out or above your house. And just all the letters that he could have gotten. And then I can't imagine what his neighbors are saying and the things that are beginning to say, that as this thing just began to take shape, and what are you building? And I'm building a boat. Noah, I don't know if you realized, but the ocean is like way, way over there. I can't even see it from here. You don't have a trailer big enough to get this boat over there. And I can just imagine the criticism. And as years and years went by, I think maybe it possibly just became that town joke that there's Noah. What's he doing today? What are you adding on to the ark today? How are you doing it today? And people would kind of say it with that sarcastic voice, like, yeah, And I can only imagine Noah is, when I think about it, just kids. His kids are, I picture, since mine are in school, I start thinking about them being in school and what the kids are saying to their kids, and just the different criticism that had to be that could have easily been taking place that we don't see and hear in Scripture. But let's be honest, if we drove by here, we'd be saying some things. We'd have been talking about it when we came in. Have you heard about that thing that they're building right outside of town? It's just like huge. And just the criticism that he took year after year after year, but he just dared to be different. And I think about the different was really that he walked close with the Lord. And when I realized that in that scripture, that really was the difference, if I'm honest, it just kind of stung a little bit. Because I think about Noah and I think about how big and different that he was and how he lived by faith. But that scripture just says he walked close with the Lord. And so if we want to be different, that's really all we have to do, is to walk step in step with what the Lord wants for us. And God is able to use us in just some incredible ways if we just do that. And I wonder this, could you put up with being misunderstood and criticized year after year because of your convictions? Because you were doing what you knew that God wanted you to do. And as Noah did this, Noah, we realized that he just wasn't afraid to stand alone. He wasn't afraid to stand alone. And in fact, there in as we read there, he just walked with the Lord. And so I wonder this morning, as you think about your own life, and we think maybe some common threads that we have with Noah, do we just dare to be different? Do we walk that life with God, and that we're walking so close to God that people just know that we're different? And that he's able to do some amazing things in our life. And this one goes right along with that, but God uses people who follow him completely. When I think about Noah and I think about the years he took to build the ark, I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sure everybody has these days when you wake up and you're like, I don't really want to go to work today. Can I just call in sick? Matter of fact, just thinking about going to work makes me sick, and so I'm just going to call in sick. You're talking about 100 years. Noah was building and building, and he got up every day and he built and he built and he built. And how he just followed God totally and completely every single day. And in Genesis chapter 6, verse 22, goes on to say this. It says, so Noah did everything exactly as God had commanded him. He did everything exactly as God commanded him. You know, I think about growing up, and my parents had a lot of different rules, and they had some different things for me to do during the house, around the house, and some different things to do, and some different expectations. You know what? I did a lot of them, but I have to admit, I didn't do exactly every single one of them. And maybe you have a child like this, or maybe you were like this, but your parents told you to clean the room. And your room was spotless when your parents walked in. But please do not look under the bed. Please do not open that closet. Because if you open that closet, you're liable to get hurt when things start falling out of it. And so when I think about doing exactly the way that Noah said to do it, that's just a lot different than just doing it. That he followed him completely, not, it's good enough. I know enough that my parents will say, the room's clean enough. They'll say, well, it's good enough. That really wasn't where Noah was at. Says he followed him completely, all the way down to the very part of it, just totally. In fact, in chapter 7, verse 5, it says, and Noah did all the Lord commanded, not some, not partial. He did all. It was unconditional obedience. And I think about this obedience, how it just was a part of Noah's faith. And I think about all the things as Noah followed and lived his life of faith, no matter the things that were going on. And I just get this sense that no matter what began to happen, Noah just had this faith that all of us should strive for. I get this idea that we got to stop and we got to think about this, because the Bible says that it never rained before. And I mentioned that briefly, and I'll be honest, that's hard for me to understand, because I can't imagine it not raining. It can go months without raining. It can get really dry. But to not know what rain is, it's never went that long without raining that I didn't know what rain was, or that my kids didn't know what rain was, or a generation didn't know what rain was. But they just didn't know what rain was. And not only had it not ever rained, but a lot of people estimate that the ark was built some 500 miles from the largest body of water, the Mediterranean Ocean. And how's he going to get it across these 500 miles? It just didn't make sense. I don't know that Noah knew how to make sense of it either. He just knew that God said it was going to do this and that it was going to do it. And so he just completely obeyed him, and I'm going to build this. No matter how long it takes, I'm going to do it, and I'm just going to keep on doing it. And if Noah just kept trying to make sense of everything, it just really wasn't going to get any easier, because not only am I building this thing, can you imagine the first time that Noah said that he was going to build the ark, and he let those words come out of his mouth, maybe to his wife, to his kids? That was a pretty big one. But I'm not sure that the next one might have been just a little bit more humorous. Was, yeah, and God's going to bring two of every animal. He's going to bring all the animals, and we're going to load them on the ark. I'm not sure that that wouldn't even just leave, and maybe just a little bit more shocking. Because I'm pretty sure my family would have kind of chuckled a little bit. And honestly, we probably would have chuckled a little bit as well, because we know that it's just this huge and crazy thing. I can imagine you can build this for now on, but now what? Every animal? I mean, come on, you gotta be kidding. I mean, how do you explain something like that? For me, you know, sometimes you're riding with kids, especially like a 4 or 5 year old, and they ask you, why, why? And they just ask you that question. And sometimes it's like, why is the sky blue? I don't know about you, but I like heard that question plenty of times in my life. And I'm like, because God made this sky blue. I don't know. And I think about how Noah, that was really the only thing that he could say. Why? How is this going to happen? I don't know, but God said it's going to happen. It's going to happen. So I'm just going to obey him and do the things completely. And what I love is this. God uses people who never give up, who keep on putting one foot in front of the other, in front of the other. And I think of all the different things, as you just can look through Scripture, I think about Moses. He had to wait 80 years to see the people of Israel as they were set free and as they actually entered the promised land. And you think about Noah, it says that it took over 100 years to build the ark. Most of us are like, man, if I just stay the same job for 20 years or 30 years, that's a big deal. And Noah's here working and working and working away. And he's just building and he never gave up. Even when he, at some point, missed the board, hit his hand, we know it had to have happened. He didn't give up. And he just kept building and kept building and just seeing this ark begin to take place. And can you just imagine as you sit down with coffee with Noah and just talking about the day? Some of us would want to avoid it at the coffee because we're like, he's just going to talk about building that ark again. Can he talk about something else? But he just never gave up. And sometimes things in our life, they can cause you to give up. Sometimes it's problems in our life, and you know, there's just a few chapters about Noah, but I can't imagine that everything was smooth and everything just was perfectly, went just the way, exactly the way Noah wanted. And I just think about the different things that he could have faced. And he just kept on going. I can't imagine about the pressures that just seemed to be pushed and going in different ways, but yet he didn't give up. I can't imagine the people that said, Noah, this is year 52. Why are you building this ark? And Noah didn't give up. And he just kept going. And God used Noah because he was a man of commitment and he never gave up. And I just want you to stop and think about maybe this morning just how God can use you. Because I believe God can do some amazing and crazy things in your life just like he did in Noah. He can use you in a way that you just don't seem to think that he possibly can. And if God were to say it today, you would say, there's just no way. But if we keep doing the things and we don't give up and we just keep following God and we just keep putting one foot in front of the other and we follow him completely and we make ourselves available and we dare to be different, I can't help but to think that one day you look back and there's this ark in your life. And no, God is not asking you to build that literal ark, the large boat, but he has something huge for your life. And as we stay faithful and as you walk with God, God can use every single one of you, from the one that's in elementary school to the one that's whatever age that you are, whether you're married or not married, divorced or not divorced. He can use you to do some great and amazing things in our life. If we just say, here I am, God. And we don't make excuses of the problems that we face. And we don't make excuses of everything that are totally great excuses. I really believe that God can do some crazy things in your life that when you look back, you might as well be looking at the ark and say, there's no way I did that. Because you know that you couldn't have done it without God. But wouldn't it be so great if we just began to get more and more things in common with Noah? That at the end of our life, it would be like, wow, thank you, God, for using me that way. Thank you, God, for doing these amazing, crazy things through someone who really didn't think it was possible, who didn't deserve it. That whatever excuse that you may be running through your mind. So I just want you, as you go through this week, more than anything else, I want you to realize that God is saying, I can use you. I can use you. And I can use you if we just make ourselves available. Let's pray. Dear Father, I just come to you today, Lord, just thanking you for today, dear Lord. And I just pray for each one that's here today, dear Lord. And I just pray that you just use us to do some amazing things, dear Lord. I pray that you just help those that are right now just struggling with doubts or just struggling with problems or just struggling in life, period, to know that you love them and that you're there. And dear Lord, I just pray that you would just use the bridge, but dear Lord, in just amazing ways, that you just also use each individual. That they would reach people and do things that they really never thought was possible. And we just thank you for all that you do, dear Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you'll stand, we're going to have a time of just worship. And perhaps, maybe you just need to say, God, I'm available. I don't know what it is, but I'm available. Maybe you just need to take time just to get rid of the excuses in your life and just begin just to focus on God today. And maybe you just want to spend some time in prayer saying, God, I'm available. Use me.